then you should be welcome to the 214th episode of podcast Juventus Club Svezia. And this time I have Omer Ravid. Welcome.
Hi. Nice to be here. So nice.
Yeah, and you are. Okay. Yeah, and you are a part of the AGC podcast.
Yeah, I am. We're the AJC, the old Juvecast, run by Alberto. You can see my name. We're very active on Twitter, less so active on, well, at least myself, on Facebook and Instagram. But you can see my name down there. If you want to follow me, then there it is. And yeah, just joined by our love for Juventus.
Yeah, and I'm gonna tag you in the publishment of the episode so everyone can follow you too and the AGC project such.
Fantastic.
And with a new guest, I always ask why Juventus for you.
Oh, it was actually pretty basic. When I grew up, we had like one sports channel, so you can imagine like a Champions League night, you get one match to watch.
Yeah.
It was back in 95, 96 season when you won the Champions League. And I was just a kid. I saw the best team. Like, it's not like a cultural thing for me. No one in my house watches football at all.
Yeah.
They watch more athletics and stuff. So just, I don't know, I just fell in love with it. I have no specific reason, just loved what I saw. And from then on, you know, every time they lost, I got angry, and then I thought, wow, I'm actually a fan if I get angry.
Yeah.
And since then, it's been, you know, a rocky road, great at times, horrible in other times, but a fan is a fan. Never leave your old lady.
Yeah, exactly. I have the not the same experience. I have my dad and my mom who's played football, so it's football in the family. But my own family, I have four kids, and my wife has no interest in football. So I'm alone at home.
Oh yeah, that was my dream, to have like a family who watches football. I was always so envious of people who like sit and watch with their dad and their brothers. I never had it. I have three sisters. No one's interested.
Yeah, my sister weren't interested in football either. But as I said, my mom and dad played football, so it's natural for me to follow. But my dad was a Manchester United fan, so Juventus is my own thing.
Oh, yeah. Manchester United fan.
Yeah, it's well, like that. Yeah, and it's like that in Sweden. Everyone is following Premier League, but I follow a show that's called Uno Cruz Due in Sweden, who sends the Serie A in the 90s. So I just started to follow Serie A and Juventus instead.
Well, you're a winner.
Yeah, I am.
Made the right choice.
Yeah, absolutely. And talk about Juventus then. If we took apart Allegri for a moment, what do you think of the season so far?
The season has been sort of disappointing, to say the least. I mean, I expected, I don't know if I expected a bit more, because it's the third year, and we also kind of saw that Allegri in his first tenure in the final season when Ronaldo came in. So I can't say I had really high hopes because of the Mercato we had.
Yeah.
But still, going into a season, it's like always a fresh start and anything can happen. I didn't imagine the first Conte season would end the way it did. So I'm always full of hopes, and we had a good run. We had a good run in the season, then it kind of fell off. So yeah, a lot of frustrations. Everyone's to blame, but it's a hobby. I don't take it too personally, and I try to enjoy it as much as I can. But the season has been rocky. I don't know what to expect anymore. Just finish it off in the Champions League, and that's the main goal right now for me.
Yeah, absolutely, but do you want to take the second or the third place, but are you satisfied if we get the fifth position in the league and get Champions League anyway?
No. I mean, yes and no. It's like by the skin of our teeth, and fifth means we had to rely on what other teams do in Europe to get that fifth spot, and I don't like relying on other teams. And it basically means we shouldn't have been here, just the new rules made it possible. And I don't like Juve finishing fifth. It means we lost a lot. I want to finish first, obviously, but second, maybe third, would feel a lot better.
And do you make the make Allegri the scapegoat for the twist? Because we see a great Juventus in at the start of 2024, but like from the Empoli game, everybody lost the mentality, the passion, the grinta. Do you blame Allegri for everything, or have to blame the players too?
I don't blame him for everything, but I do give him a major part of the blame. I do appreciate everything he's done, and he's one of the best coaches we ever had in Juve's history. But this tenure, it just hasn't worked. It's been three seasons, a couple of different rosters. I mean, look back at the roster we had when he first came in, and today, if he couldn't pull it off then, and he can't pull it off now, and we saw a lot of players even talking about it after leaving Juventus, they're just, that system, that sort of play style that we have right now with all the youngsters, it just doesn't work. I don't believe Allegri is a very good coach for youngsters. I don't know if he knows how to improve them. He always liked the guys who think for themselves and create chances for themselves. He was more of a defensive guy. But we need something different right now. We have a lot of young attackers, exciting, that we want to see play together and in different ways, in different positions, and it just doesn't work. So I do give him part of the blame because he's the manager. He's in charge of everything. And if something doesn't work at any place of business, you go to the manager and ask questions, not to the employees. The players have blamed themselves. Maybe some of them are not as good as we want them to be. But it's easier to replace a coach than replace an entire roster, especially for us that we have no money right now after everything that happened last season. So there's only one logical way. Let's call it logical.
Yeah. Yeah, we see everything. We see Romeo Agresti talking about it. We see Fabrizio Romano talking about it. Giovanni Albanese and like everybody that's... This is the last season for Allegri, and everyone is talking about the replacement in Thiago Motta. Do you think it's going to be him?
I think it does. From what I've seen from Motta, I mean, it could be anyone. Last season, we could have talked about Dionisi or Sutil, and this year it's Motta, but he has proved he was able to maintain what he built on last season and even improve on that this season. I mean, bringing Bologna to the Champions League, that's one hell of, you know, a success for a young manager with this team. I mean, when you looked at it at the beginning of the season, we knew like, what, 3-4 players from the roster that were, you know, considered decent. And apparently they're more. So he can bring more out of players who are not considered top class. And I want the management to be a bit more courageous, because we know now that Sarri was just a plan B for not getting Guardiola. Alberto talked with guys in Turin, and they said that Guardiola was like pretty close to being closed for Juve, and then it didn't work out, and Sarri was plan B. Then going for Pirlo was a bit too courageous for me, with no experience, no nothing. And then going back to Allegri was like the safe bet. Okay, we got lost. Let's go back to the last place we knew who we were and what we wanted out of the team. But it obviously didn't work. Three seasons, zero trophies. And so Motta seemed like a logical choice, but I would go for Conte just the same. I mean, whoever comes out of the two of them, I'd be happy. Because they can both bring different elements, and I don't want any of them going to any other team. Seems like Milan are changing manager, Napoli are in the market for a manager, Inzaghi might leave Inter, and I don't want Conte or Motta in any of those teams. So it's kind of tricky, but I'll be happy with Motta, especially because of the project we have with the youngster, the salary he would ask for. It seems logical.
Yeah, and for me, it's like that you're talking about Antonio Conte too. For me, he is a fast recharge of the team. So if you take back Conte, it's for one or two seasons, but not in the long term. And I was talking about this in a lot of episodes. we restart with a new board. We restart with Cristiano Giuntoli, but not on the coach side. So I want to see a recharge there too, but in the long term, and I don't think Conte is it's up for that.
No, he doesn't seem like he likes the long projects, but when he does come in, he immediately makes a change. He did that everywhere he went, so you kind of get of a sort of a guarantee with Conte. And just because it's like for 2-3 years, I'm actually more okay with it. So because he can build the foundations and bring back the Grinta and the Juventus spirit we've all been yearning for. And then someone else can take up his spot, because he usually retires by himself. He doesn't even get fired, so you don't have to pay him all that much. But his salary would be higher than Moda's. And I don't want to sound like an expert on financials for Juve, so I don't know what it means financially bringing in Conte or Mota and what it enables for us to do. But I would be happy with Conte, because we clearly, like you said in the beginning, the mentality was a big issue this season. And Conte would bring that right back. That's just what he does.
Yeah, and I think if we're talking about mentality, and if we talk about Allegri, because I remember last season with the penalties, we got 15 points off, we got them back, we got 10 points off. We go from the third place to the seventh place, but I remember the mentality that Allegri bring to the players, and I have a lot of respect for that. But then I don't understand what he's lacking this season, because if you can put the mentality in the players with all the penalties back and forth, why doesn't he have it this season?
I think it's an issue of personnel, the guys we have on the roster, because he didn't have to do that when he first came in, because he had like those big characters all across the dressing room, from Buffon to Chiellini, Bonucci back then, Tevez, Pirlo, Vidal. All those guys were like mentality monsters. They didn't need anyone to push them forward. And the football scenery has changed in the past 10 years since Allegri first signed, and players require different things, different attention. It's a different generation. And you can see a bit of older coaches, Mourinho and Allegri and all those guys, they don't cope with those guys well. They like the old type of players. If you read John Terry's interview when Mourinho first came in, it was a different time for football, and it doesn't work anymore. And Allegri hasn't evolved. I was hoping he would evolve in the 2 years he hasn't managed anyone and just, you know, just at home watching football, that he'd learn some new things. But when he came back, he went straight back to point zero, and it wasn't good enough for Juve anymore, not with the roster we had.
And if you're talking about that experience we have with Allegri, 5 years before, he, like you said, we got the BBC and Buffon behind them, we got experienced players like Khedira, we got Matuidi, who's playing with heart, we got Mandzukic, Tevez, as you mentioned, we got Marquisio, we got Vidal, we got Pirlo, we got Pogba in his prime. We don't have any players like that. We don't have the Senators in the squad. We got Chesney in the back, but in every other position, we don't have the leaders. And that's as you said, the problem for Allegri. But if we look ahead, and we got Conte or Thiago Motta or any other coach, do you think we have the squad with a few leaders and play like 4-3-3 or 4-2-3-1 or such?
Whatever isn't 3-5-2, I'll be happy with. I just don't think you need very specific players to make that work, and I don't think our players fit the 3-5-2 that well. But 4-3-3, 4-2-3-1, based on the players we have right now, 4-2-3-1 seems like the more logical thing, because Locatelli played in a two-man pivot back in Sassuolo, and those were sort of his best days, maybe. And I think we need like the number 10 because we have Yıldız who can play there, and Miretti would be better off there if he stays. But as far as leadership goes, I think we have a huge problem with leadership. I don't think we really have any real leaders, like natural born leaders on this team. I think Dusan has it, because when he didn't play, it was obvious that something is missing on the pitch. And when he came back, you immediately saw that he's pushing everyone forward and he has that mentality in him, but he's still a fairly young guy. I don't want to put, you know, all this pressure on him. It mainly falls on the older guys. And I was hoping that, you know, Rabiot and these guys can take, you know, some of the blame and some of the responsibility, but it's just, it's something you're born with. It's not something that you learn from a manager or anything. And so I do believe we need a bit of other players, because like you said, Matuidi, Khedira, all those guys, they were like Champions League winners and World Cup winners. So you didn't need to work with them on anything. They have the mentality set in them. And so it was easier for Allegri. But for a new coach with young players, we need someone back there. I don't know who we can just pull out of thin air to bring in, you know, just revolutionize this team on the pitch. But something needs to be done. We have a big issue of mentality.
Do you think we have to have the leader in the squad, or do you think we can put it in the board? Because I think it was last week's episode talking about like put Del Piero in a VP position or Chiellini in a position in the board and get the mentality, the Juventus DNA, lose the little Juve into the squad from a leader in the board. Or do you think we have to have players with the mentality to put in the squad?
I think it can affect the team if the manager is like that. Like if Chiellini becomes a manager of Del Piero, then just the way players interact with him, the way they see him. Yeah, you saw Zidane at Real Madrid, how just players respected him, even Ronaldo looked admired him and looked at him differently than younger coaches. I to be honest, I don't know if it would work just being in the management, because I can think of only like Milan who brought back Maldini and Zlatan and it instantly changed. But most of the times bringing all players back, even Lampard at Chelsea, it just didn't work. So I wouldn't bank on it, but I wouldn't say it couldn't work. Maybe Del Piero can come in and just, you know, change everything mentality wise, but I think it needs to be closer to the pitch, like, and then up in the offices. And that's why Conte is a viable option for me, and I have no problem, because he doesn't need the leaders. He will make leaders by himself.
Yeah. And age wise in the squad, we got Chesney, we got Danilo, and maybe Rabiot, who's has experience to be the leader. But we saw last season and this season it's the same with Rabiot. He's could leave as a boss man, so we lose him. Chesney has 1 year left on his contract. Danilo, I think two. We don't have age-wise any leaders in the squad. Do you think we can put some in, or do you think like Conte or another coach could make leaders of a little bit younger players?
Conte can definitely make some leaders out of young players. It's just a matter of mentality. We saw it in the past in different teams. He can bring more out of mediocre players, and that environment is kind of infectious. And when you get the chance, when you get the feeling that winning is all that's important, like really get the feeling, then everyone is behind it. And if it doesn't come from players, then it has to come from your coach. And I didn't get that with Allegri in this tenure. So we have a few older players, but that was my main critique of Chesney.
Yeah.
All the time, that as a leader, he's not that vocal. I don't think he's that good. I actually like Perrin better in that aspect.
Okay, yeah.
Having said that, I do think he's a phenomenal goalkeeper. That save he pulled off against Fiorentina, against Nico Gonzalez, that was world class. If it was Mike Maignan or one of those, you know, more talked about goalkeepers, you'd see it all over social media. because that was just a world-class save. So he has those moments. But he is 34. We will need to move away from him at some point. And I don't think Perrin will stay too much, you know, just being the second goalkeeper. And maybe another one more year, and then you will go for like a Di Gregorio or Kranasecki, one of the younger Italian guys. Danilo, I think his heart is in the right place, but I don't know if he's like the leader of these young men. I like him. I like the attitude he brings. It's just not that infectious like, you know, Chiellini was. He was just a born leader. You saw him play. And the way he acted off the field, that was like very contradictory. He was such a nice person off the pitch. And then he becomes this beast on the pitch. That's not something you learn. That's just in you. And it's not easy to find. It's not only a problem for Juve. It's a problem for a lot of teams these days, in my opinion. But we do need some guys who've been around the block and maybe won some trophies. I actually really want to win this season's Coppa Italia, because I think those guys really need a win, really need to feel like winners and get a taste of, you know, some trophies to improve their mentality and push them forward, because some of these guys have never won anything and they've been at Juve for 3 years. That sounds actually kind of insane.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Yeah, we won under Sarri, we won under Pirlo, but not this time with Allegri. So, as you said, we haven't won any trophies after he comebacks. And if you look at the names you mentioned, we got Buffon in goal, we got Chiellini, Bonucci, Basagli in the back. Now we got Szczęsny, who, like you said, he could be a world class goalie, but he doesn't have the mentality as Buffon and the voice back there. Every defender could be at ease when you got a leader like Buffon behind. And now we got Szczęsny. You got a general in Bremer, but then we have Gatti, we have Danilo, we have Alexandru, we have Rugani. To replace the BBC, it's so fucking hard.
It's miles away from what we're used to. And maybe, you know, I think Gatti does have it in him to be that one day, based on what we saw. But he's still, you know, at a fairly young age, and he's still learning to play at the top level. And maybe having Bremer beside him allows him to make more mistakes and learn from them. And that's why I don't want Bremer sold, because I think it's still very important for this team's development. But I do think Gatti could be that one day. But it's still a long way. That's the main thing about Juve right now. We, as much as we want to win instantly and have like one season like the one with Conte, where everything falls into place and we suddenly become winners, this will be a longer project, and we just need patience with some of these guys. You don't expect Yıldız to be Juve's leader at 18. That's unfair to him.
Yeah.
And I expect more from the older guys, and that's why I am more critical towards them, towards the Rabios, who make a lot of money and been here for 4 years and actually had a great season last season.
Yeah.
And suddenly it all fell off and disappeared, and back to the Rabio we had before. Mm-hmm. So I leave the young guys like out of it, maybe one day, but not yet. And we all need to be very patient with them. Even with Wea, like where do you stand on Wea? What do you think about him?
I think when we got him, he looks like a, what you call it, like a functional player. You can mold him to be a wing back. You can mold him to be a winger, almost like a Metsala. But when I see him play, he doesn't fit Juventus, I think, because you can see the Andrea Cambiasso development, and I thought I could see the same development in Wea, but no.
Yeah. Which, by the way, Cambiasso is another one who trained and worked under Mota.
Yeah.
So that might even be better for him if Mota comes in. But yeah, Wea, I want to give him another shot. I don't want to sell him, especially because it didn't cost us a lot of money.
No.
And there are some players, you know, it takes time to understand Italy and everything that goes behind the scenes, everything that happens. I think like Argentinian players settle in pretty quickly, because the Argentinian league is kind of the same with all the drama behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And the way the fans act between themselves and matches. And where he's still young. I mean, he has time to improve. Even Tonali like had a horrible first season and then everything clicked. There are players that take more time to get adjusted to Italy. It's a different league than the rest. That's why I love it. Because of all the drama, because of everything that happens behind the scenes, and it's not only football, even though Juve usually suffers from it. But it's not easy. It's not an easy league. It's never been an easy league. Just look at the personalities, the managers you have all across the board, the type of players, all the fans of the other clubs. It's really not easy, and I want to give him another shot to wear. I think we can still use him, not in a 3-5-2.
Yeah, and
that's the main issue.
If you go to a back four, we can play with a offensive like right back and a more defensive left back, and we can use Vea in such a position. And I nag about this in a lot of episodes since like Lichtsteiner and Evra time, we don't have quality wing backs, so I want that back. And if we talk about the defenders, I have a concern. I think it was the guest last week too, with Bremer. He played in Torino and with us in a three back. Do you think he can manage to play like two with just two in the back?
Possibly. I mean, I've heard a lot of people say that he can't play in a four-man back line, only three, but I don't buy it. It's mostly an issue of who your partner is.
Yeah.
Someone that complements your abilities. I don't think we have that type of player right now. Maybe Calafiori, which we're linked to, but that guy's also young. But I don't buy it. I mean, if the defense works, if the system works, and everyone knows their duties, it should be okay. I wouldn't say he couldn't play just a different type of center back. He has the athleticism, just he's lacking on dribbling. Maybe a younger Bonucci would have complimented him well, the same way he complimented Chiellini back in the day. And you can always see it, like look at Napoli and when they were, not from the past season, but in the Sarri era, they had Raul Albiol, who's not a flashy name, who's not anything, but he just complimented Koulibaly so well that it worked. And if Juve were rumored to buy Raul Albiol, no one would have wanted him. No one would have asked for him, but he was this type of defender. You can partner with anyone and he'll do the dirty work and the other guy can shine. And I think we need someone like that. I don't think Gatti and Bremer would be a good partner in the back, not even with Danilo. We need kind of a different profile back there. I don't know exactly who. I don't know who we can afford to bring in there, but I'm not buying the Bremer can't play in a four-man back line.
Yeah, and I talk about the defenders. You mentioned Calafiori, who I wanted like when it was back in Roma Academy. He played left back, but he's now in the like a fullback, and we have Diallo, who's coming in January and haven't played a minute. What do you think is going to happen to him?
Honestly, I don't know. I don't know how to gauge the guy. I haven't seen him play for Juve. I've seen him play for Lille. He looked fine. He looked okay. He looked like a pretty athletic guy, which is kind of a necessity these days with the strikers we have right now. But Calafiori seems like the right profile. I really like the way he plays, his spatial awareness, his just aerial game. Even his dribbling is better than most defenders because he was a left back. And I didn't follow him since he was in the Roma Academy. I just noticed him this year how he improved. Just shifting position to the center. And I think he will be good for us. I would actually really like to buy him. But again, it has to come with some money. We need to sell someone. I have no idea who that's going to be. We had reports this morning from Nicolas Kira, who's very reliable, that Chiesa he's working on a renewal, so it doesn't seem like he will get sold this summer. Dusan seems like he likes to stay, so it seems like the casualty would be Bremer if we have to sell someone for big money. And that's honestly a tough question. Who would I, if I had to let one go, Chiesa, Vlahovic, or Bremer, who would that be? I don't know. I have no clear answer. Each one of them will be hard to replace. So if we do sell Bremer and bring in Calafiori, I have no idea how it works. We need to replace Bremer with someone.
Yeah.
I don't think Huijsen is still at the level that he can replace Bremer. He still needs more time. Like the same thing I said about Ildiz. They don't want to put all the pressure on an 18-year-old shoulder.
Yeah, and I'm talking about the younger players. We got Gildas, who is not going to leave. Every report says that. We have interest for Huijsen, as you mentioned. We got interest for Barnechea. We got interest for Soleil. Do you want to sell those younger players instead of Bremer?
I want to sell some of them, but again, depending who the coach is. Because if it's Conte, then I don't think there's any room for Sule or even Ealing Jr. And I would sell them because they can generate some money. But if it's Mota and we're going for 4-3-3 or 4-2-3-1, we need depth. We'll be in four competitions next season. So Sule, Ealing, all those guys will get a lot of time to play. And I think that's important for them and good for Juve. So I would actually look to sell Miretti even. I don't think he has a lot to offer, maybe even a loan, but to generate money, a loan wouldn't generate any money. And so I would look to sell Miretti, maybe Barrenechea, although I think he had a great season by his standards, and he can improve, but we can use him as a bargaining chip for other players. And that's the reality of it. You can't keep everyone. I mean, look, Barca had a phenomenal academy. But they had to let go of some players. They had to let go of Dani Olmo and Grimaldo and Adama Traore. And a lot of Barca youngsters are just playing around Europe because there was no room for them. So we can't keep everyone. You have to pick the best. So no matter what happens, keep Ildiz. The rest, I'll be fine with. I want Sule to stay, but I wouldn't cry about him leaving. Ildiz is the only, like, the one I feel was a really, really top talent that can, you know, get to the highest levels of football. And the rest could be better and could be worse, but I wouldn't cry about any of them leaving.
Yeah, and if we move up a bit, we talk about the midfield. We got Fagioli back for the last game of the season.
Finally.
Yeah, finally. But when we're talking about the midfield, we got Locatelli, as you said, he was playing in his position in Sassuolo. Do you think a player, if we lose Rabiot as Bosman, do you think everyone is talking about Theo Kopmeiners in Atalanta? Do you think he can complement Locatelli and he move a little bit up in the field?
I think he'll play a bit higher if we do sign him. I actually really like Kopmeiners. I think he's the type of player we need. Because he is older and he's not only performing for Atalanta, there's always a feel with Atalanta players of how they perform out of the Atalanta system. But some of them performed actually very well, and I think Kopmeiners is not, you know, just works better at Atalanta and wouldn't be at the same level anywhere else. But as far as playing in a two-man pivot next to Locatelli, that actually is not playing to the best of his abilities. This guy is a good passer. He has a good shot on him. He makes quick decisions, and that's the type of profile I want up front, and not at the back.
Yeah.
So McKenny can partner Locatelli. Fagioli can partner Locatelli. I mean, I even think we're going to extend Alcaraz. I don't think we're going to buy him. I think we're going to extend his loan. And so that's another more attacking profile. And depending on what happened with Miretti, I mean, Kopmeiners could push some of those guys out, which is fine. Again, just don't sell Ildiz.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't play him like in a two-man pivot with mostly defensive work. You know, I think we need a different profile back there. And Rabiot will probably leave. I'm guessing he's not extending. Yeah. Definitely without Allegri staying as manager.
Yeah, talking up front, if we play 4-2-3-1, you can have like Locatelli and Koopmeiners at the two midfielders. You got Yildiz behind Vlahovic, and you got Chiesa. And last days, you heard from Fabrizio Romano that Felipe Anderson is already there as a busman from Lazio. What do you think about that?
Well, since we have four competitions, I think it's good depth.
Yeah.
It's not that bad. I mean, he knows the league. There's not a lot of money involved. We're not losing anything. It may lead to, again, one of the young guys getting sold, one of the young wingers. But we do need depth. That's been our main issue in the past seasons. Some of the guys, if they get injured, there's just no replacement. When Dusan is out, not Keane and not Milik are able to replace him and produce what he produces. Or does he account to, like, I don't know, 50-60% of our goal? And without him, we're like in eighth place. And I can't say that about a lot of players at Juve right now. And so, Felipe Anderson, fine. Yeah, whatever. Sometimes you get surprises that you don't expect.
Yeah.
And maybe he will be that, and maybe it'll be just another, you know, passenger who just been here for 1-2 seasons and then leaves, like Kostic is now.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so a lot can happen, but it's not the worst thing. Could be better, but it's not the worst.
Because when I heard about it, I just thought, not him, but if you're talking about the all the competitions we're going to get, you have to have the depth. But
it didn't make sense with Allegri with a 3-5-2.
Yeah,
it didn't make sense.
Exactly. And if you see the players we got Chiesa, we got Solé, we got Kostic, we got Illing Jr. If we're going to sell some of them, then Filip Andersson is going to be a starting player.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah.
Possibly. Maybe we can even sign someone else. But either way, with four competitions, the bench will get a lot of playing time. A lot more than this season, definitely. So I'm not all too worried. I don't think we're going to see, like, we rarely see for any team, like, a starting 11 that those are the guys. And the others play only if they're not available. I mean, Allegri had, like, I don't know, more than 100 different formations, the way the players he used. And even looking, you know, at Real Madrid, I don't know who their starting 11 is. It could be anyone, not City, not anyone. And we're no different. We're going to see a lot of lineups because there are too many games, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So everyone will get a playing time. Felipe Anderson, he could be a utility player. He could be someone useful whenever anyone is injured.
What do you think about the future for, like you said, Kostic, and we got Illing Jr. too. Do you think they're going to stay, or do you think we're going to capitalize off of those?
I think Kostic is definitely going to be sold this summer. He's definitely an Allegri player. I expected more from him, to be honest. Because I did watch him a lot when he played for Frankfurt, and I thought he was actually great there. But he couldn't replicate that in Italy or under Allegri, even though he's possibly, maybe not the only one, but one of the few who actually plays in his natural position. It just doesn't work. That left field trio of Chiesa, Rabiot, Kostic, it just doesn't work. It looks different when Cambiasso is there. So Kostic, he doesn't even seem interested. I mean, I think he's out. This summer will definitely be sold. That's my bet if I had to put money on it.
Yeah.
Illing, I do like to keep him. I think his natural position is left winger. He's been tasked with, I mean, even the last game, you saw the Fiorentina match. We brought in all this attacking talent with Yildiz and Alvarez and Illing, and they were defending for 45 minutes. So what's the point of keeping all those attacking players if what we're doing is defending most of the time? But I do want to see him as a replacement. I mean, he could be, if we are going with wingers next season, I think he could play. Could be a great left winger, a great replacement for Chiesa or Rildiz or whoever plays there. So I don't want to sell him. I do think he's talented, but he's English. There's a bigger market for him. And some teams from England will pay more money from him. So if that's the sacrifice we have to make, and that's exactly the same thing I said about Rovella last season. If that's the like the big sacrifice we had to make that summer or this summer, then it's fine with me.
Yeah.
Much better than selling Dusan for Lukaku.
Yeah, absolutely. And talking about that, yeah, we got almost every formation that we got, we're trying to play next season. We have just one center forward. We got Dusan Vlahovic, but when he's injured or suspended or such, we just got Keane and Milik. Do you want to sell them both and try to negotiate for secrecy or such?
No, just sell those guys. I mean, Keane is a striker. He did get minutes this season. He had like a 1 month injury, fine, but he had enough minutes to make more impressions than he has.
Yeah.
And I think that ship has sailed. You know, some young guys, you look at them and you say, it can work in the future and it can be better. I think with Keane, that ship has sailed. He's not going to... I just don't think he's a good striker for the top level that we aim for. He might be great, you know, playing for Atalanta as a striker, playing for one of those mid-table teams. I think that's his level. And Milik, I mean, again, everything is under the Allegri system, which is mostly based on kicking the ball upfield and hoping Dusan can control it. And it seems like only Dusan can do it, not Milik and not Keane can actually control long balls and keep them long enough to create an attack. So different manager might say different things, but I wouldn't keep both of them. I don't think there's any future hope. I mean, come on, Keane is a striker. Zero goals. I know he had two goals robbed from him against Verona.
Yeah.
Two actually great goals, but still, that's too low for a second striker as Juventus.
Yeah, and you got Milik at 3 and you got Federico Gatti at 4.
Come on, that's shameful. That's shameful for strikers.
And talk about a future replacement. I read reports on that Bologna want a lot for Joshua Zirkzee, but Juntoli is talking to Bayern München, who has the 40 million euros buyback clause. Do you think we can manage to negotiate for him with Bayern instead?
We might. We have a good relationship with Bayern, and there's always been like this, you know, we help you and you help us, this kind of mentality between us, going back to Douglas Costa and Benatia.
Yeah.
And even De Ligt, they got De Ligt for a fairly low price.
Yeah.
Not that he's doing all that well, but still pretty low price. We could have sold him for more.
So
Bayern might want to pull that off for us, but as far as Zirkzee, I mean, I don't know if he wants to be like a second striker, maybe in the 10 role.
Yeah,
like if you're telling me we're going with a 4-2-3-1 and our front four are like Yildiz on the left, Chiesa on the right, Zirkzee in the middle and Dusan up top, that would be sick.
Yeah.
That would be phenomenal. Because I don't consider him like a modern striker. He's not a number 9. He moves around a lot. The way he controls the ball, just watch him play for Bologna. So maybe if Mota comes in, he can utilize him. But I don't think he wants to be a bench player or replacement. He could play striker for Milan if Giroud leaves this summer and they are in the market for a striker. They do have a bit more money than we have to spend. I mean, why wouldn't he take that role of being Milan's first, you know, striker, top striker? But if Juve managed to pull that off with Bayern, that would be amazing. That would be phenomenal for us.
And what do you think about the I think before January, we got like 20 midfielders we were reporting about, but what do you think about Goretzka in Bayern München?
Okay, my agency members, my agency friends are not agreeing with me, and maybe they're right, maybe I'm wrong, but I think Goretzka is actually a good player. Yeah. He's actually a great player and a good signing for Juve. Because I've said it before, I don't feel like anyone, maybe besides Rabiot, is actually at a top level fitness. you know, like world-class fitness. If you watch all the big teams play and just the fitness of their players who are able to play full throttle for 90 minutes, I don't think we have that. We need to have those drop-offs. And something about, you know, the training, we know the trainings are different. The way players talked about how they worked under Conte, they used it to puke after training sessions. So I think Goretzka is that type of player. He has that physique in him. And once again, like sort of a Khedira type of signing.
Yeah.
A guy who's actually won a bunch of trophies and he can add to this young Juve team. But my friends at AJC don't agree with me. They think I'm wrong and they're not excited about it. We'll see what happens. I'll be fine with Goretzka signing.
I have to ask Alberto the same thing next week, see what he's
talking to. Oh, he's going to tell you. He's going to tell you, no way, I'm not excited. Don't bring the Goretzka. But I'm on the other side of the fence.
Yeah. What do you think about the you mentioned before, the if you go back to the goalkeepers, we got Szczęsny, we got Perrin, we got Pinsoglia, 1 year left on the contract. You talk about Karnisecki in Atalanta, we got Gregorio in Monza, we got Donnarumma in PSG and such. What do you want an Italian goalkeeper?
Doesn't really matter to me the nationality, just there are good talents around Italy, and honestly there aren't too many across Europe. You know, maybe Giuntoli has some names in his back pocket, some names we haven't heard of, but Karnisecki is still young and Atalanta wouldn't sell him for less than 40,
yeah,
be my guess. So it kind of seems impossible, especially this summer. Di Gregorio is a bit older. He's 26, I believe, maybe 27.
Yeah.
I actually think he's the better option, but, and there's a big but, he is an Inter fan.
Yeah.
And I think he'll end up at Inter either way, because still Jan Sommer is fairly old and he doesn't have a long contract, so I think that's where Inter would go. And Donnarumma, I don't know what to make of him, to be honest. He's beginning to be another Keane.
Yeah.
And just another Keane as a goalkeeper with a lot of high hopes and not a lot to show for it, to be honest. And all the issues he had, I mean, he's going to require a big salary. So I wouldn't go for him, not as my first, not even second choice. If I had to, like, rate them, then right now, Karnisecki, Di Gregorio, and then Donnarumma.
Yeah. What do you think? You don't bother the nationality of the goalkeepers, but in the whole team, do you want a Ital Juve as we did before?
Mainly for Italy.
Yeah.
I mean, Italy's best, you know, best times, maybe not in the last Euros that they won, but they still were heavily reliant on Bonucci, Chiellini, and Chiesa. But in the past, in the 82 World Cup, 2006, I mean, that when you ever have a strong backbone, then Italy are doing a lot better. And so, yeah, I would like to have an Italian core, especially because we can afford most of those players who come from abroad. It's just the prices are insane and we can keep up with them and we can match like a Brighton for what they pay. And what they can pay for players, and I don't want to get into any negotiations that would force us to overspend for players who haven't proved anything yet. And I don't think most of the players in the market, they justify their price. And so, yeah, if there's a cheaper Italian option, I would hands down go for it. And I'm willing to make risk. I'm willing to gamble on someone. But not if he costs 40 million at of 19.
And what do you think about the last year we got the Angeli family, 100 years of ownership of Juventus. We saw Andrea Ancelli put the new stadium and the headquarters. We got the woman team. We got the under 23 team next gen. We built a successful time, a period of 9 Scudetti in 2 Champions League finals. Then he got a little bit sidetracked with the commercial stuff with the Ronaldo deal. We got the rid of the stripes. We got the new logo. We got the Super League. What's your opinion of the Angeli family and Andrea as a person?
Up until a certain point, they did everything right.
Yeah.
I think it all started falling apart. Well, Marotta first, letting Marotta go for Paratici was a huge mistake. Paratici was a great scout, but it turned out to not be such a good general director.
Yeah.
And then changing the logo felt kind of like a slap in the face.
Yeah.
But I do have to remind myself that without the Agnelli family, there is no Juve, so we can't scratch that all out. Just like I'm saying about Allegri, what he's doing right now does not erase everything he has done with Juve, exactly. and it wouldn't erase it for Agnelli for me. He gave us 9 phenomenal years, setting record after record, just, you know, countless wins, goals, moments that I will always remember and really enjoyed. Only that Champions League trophy is missing to put a stamp on it and say this is Juve's best ever form, best ever period in history. So I try not to forget that. Having said that, I can be frustrated with some of the decisions that were made. Except for the Super League, I'm actually not angry at that. Yeah. I think he saw where football is headed, with the Premier League setting the tone for prices for players. And he said just because I do believe the football world is sort of a bubble that doesn't sustain itself. They always tell us how we make a lot of money out of selling shirts in the stadium and all that, but in all honesty, it doesn't. I mean, all the big teams are trusting outside funds that have nothing to do with football to sustain themselves. If you look at Paris Saint-Germain, if you look at Man City or the teams from England, that money doesn't come from football. It doesn't come from winning on the pitch. It comes from sponsorship deals and stuff that they sign basically with themselves so they can put up any price they want, and that allows them to spend a lot more money than they actually, you know, earned.
Yeah.
And Agnelli saw that we just can't compete with that. We can't make those amounts of money. And if we want to keep being competitive and keep a roster of not 15 players, of 25 players, to be able to compete in 3 competitions and win them all every season, we need more money. And that wouldn't come from UEFA, not from FIFA, not from the Champions League. And the Super League seemed like a viable option at that point. He kind of saw the future, and, you know, a few years down the line, he wasn't wrong. There is no money.
Yeah.
And so I agree with him on that. The way they did it was pretty horrible.
Yeah.
And just announcing it at midnight at some channel in Spain, El Chiringuito or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, they needed to work on it a lot. But if it does happen, I'm all for it, because I mean, that's the reality. You need money to compete at the top level, and the team just doesn't make enough. Not from shirts, and not from games, and not from winning trophies. And come on, the teams who get promoted to the Premier League make more money than the winner of Serie A.
Yeah, yeah.
That's ridiculous. We can't compete with that.
Yeah, and the Super League isn't dead. We see the changes in the format and such, and we see the Champions League for next season is a new format and system. So I think the Super League isn't dead, and we got the EU that UEFA doesn't have the monopoly of the European tournament. So I don't think that the Super League is dead yet, but I don't know if Juventus is still there with the new board and with John Elkann at the head.
I think they're still there. I think they're just after everything happened last season, and they try and, you know, just take the back seat and just let's watch everything. We're not making any statements. We're in, we're out. Now we're just doing what we're told, so we'll stop getting investigated for everything.
Yeah.
And see how it pans out, you know, in But the project is alive and well. A22, the company was behind it, are working on it day and night for sponsors, for format, for everything. And when it happens, I 100% believe we'll be there.
What do you think about the... Do you think we have a bright future? We see John Elkann, his words from I think it was yesterday, with the year zero now this season, and we build... to build a great future. We got the capital gain, we see the financial report get better and better every season. We are going to play Champions League next season, we go into FIFA Club World Cup next summer. Do you see a bright future for the club?
I do. I always see a bright future for the club, otherwise I wouldn't even watch the games. It's Juventus. The expectations are high. Maybe we need to adjust our expectations a bit and not, you know, if we are going to the Champions League next season, not aim to win it. Because, you know, something's got to give. If we put all our efforts there and we don't win it, then we have to, like, sort of sacrifice the league.
Yeah.
And I think we need to establish some domestic dominance before we aim for Champions League or Club World Cup or whatever. And so, yeah, I am ready for a longer project. His words, what he said, was basically Giuntoli is at the helm. He's running the show right now. Yeah. It would take some time. It wouldn't happen immediately. But it's fine. Giuntoli, I think he's a great guy. We can't measure him now because what he got was when he joined Juve. Look, we have no money and we need to rebuild the squad. Do what you can. So he did what he could without any money. But it will get better. We have players on big salaries who's leaving. We are going to sell some players. And just be ready for the process and be patient with it. I've tried to be really patient with Allegri. It's been 3 years, six transfer windows, and it hasn't improved. It's always been like this roller coaster of playing better, playing bad, playing better, playing bad. And so it doesn't work. Now let's see what Giuntoli can do. He got the reins, and Elkan confirmed it yesterday. Let's see what he can pull off.
And what do you think about the end of the season? We got 8 games left, maybe 9 with the final in the Coppa Italia. We are in the third place now. We got Bologna, as you mentioned, behind us, and we got Roma and Atalanta, who's hunting us in the league. What's approved? Do you get the Coppa Italia win, and what position in the league to get a approved stamp of the season?
Look, the Coppa Italia, we should be in the final. As far as finals go, Fiorentina won the first match, but Atalanta, I mean, they have won. They have beaten Liverpool at Anfield yesterday, 3-0. So they're like... You never know what you're going to get with Atalanta. You lose the Cagliari on Sunday and then beat Liverpool, who are like what, top of the Premier League right now. And they don't make any sense, so I don't know what to expect from them. We can actually lose a final to Atalanta. Against Fiorentina, we've seen them play a lot of pressing, but mostly crosses. I'm not too worried about them. So I think if Fiorentina are the ones to go through, I would say 90% Juve win it. And just because of the experience of Allegri over Italiano in finals and how to manage them.
Yeah.
And if we thought he was parking the bus in the league against Fiorentina, just wait for the final.
Yeah.
After we get that first goal, man, we're going to have like 1% of possession. And in the league, I mean, yeah, like you said, we need to look over our shoulders and not forward to Milan, because Milan are in great form right now, in the league at least. And I don't know if we can catch them. They're like a 6-point gap. We still have to play them. I believe it's at home.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure. But we have a tough schedule ahead. I mean, Roma are doing great. We still have to play them. You mentioned Bologna. We still have to play them. I think it's the final match day. It's not secured. We need to look over our shoulders. We need to be wary of the teams that are behind us. But I do think we'll end up in third place by the end of the season, and we will make it to the Champions League. I even said that before on the AJC podcast. I said before the Lazio match, this will be the turnaround. It can't go on forever, this horrible form, and we will end up on a, let's say, high note. I wouldn't say high note because I expected better, but we wouldn't lose it all. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I hope it's going to be that way, because we see the league game against Lazio. We didn't have Dusan Vlahovic as a target. It was a horrendous game.
Yeah.
Then you see it in the Coppa Italia semifinal. You see with Vlahovic, we could play better when we don't have Chiesa like 50 meters from the goal. Because we have a target player there. And when we saw it at Fiorentina, we got 25% of possession. It's horrendous again,
it's horrendous.
But we win.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a fan, you live in Sweden, so it doesn't take a whole lot from you to you know, fly to Italy and watch a match.
Yep.
But a lot of fans are based in Canada and the US and the Middle East. And would you make that flight to watch 25% possession? That's a big question. That's something for us, the fans. I mean, I want to go see Juve. I want to invest the money. I want to take the time and go travel and see the club that I love. Would I do it to watch that? I don't know. I'd think about it a few times.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of money and a lot of time, and I don't feel like it's worth it. That's the main concern. I mean, I get frustrated watching here at home. So flying all the way to the stadium, I might get disappointed. And I want that to be better. I want the experience of going to a match to improve.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's been missing.
You have to wait till next season.
Yeah, that's the thing. I wouldn't go to a match this season.
No.
Because there's not a lot to hope for, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly. It was great talking to you, and a lot of thanks that you want to
party.
Yeah, it was great. And I have to ask Alberto next week about the Goretzka thing.
Oh, you have to, and we would love to have you on our podcast, and you're always welcome. I'm sure Alberto will tell you the same. But it's been phenomenal. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure, you know, getting invited to other podcasts and talking about Juve. Isn't that what we live for?
Yeah, exactly. And I did like 200, I think, episodes in Swedish. And now I get more and more international guests. So I have to work on my English, but it's going to get better and better in every episode.
Is great.
Yeah, thank you.
Your English is great, and it's been a real pleasure. And whenever you need, man, I'm available. We can set it up. If you're missing someone, I can always jump in and just talk Juve.
Yeah, it sounds great to you. And I have to remember next time it's 1 hour difference, not 2 hour difference on a town zone.
Yeah. No, it's fine.
Yeah.
Fridays are always cool.
Yeah. But lots of thanks, and I hear from you again.
My pleasure, buddy. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Have a good one.
Thank you. You too.
Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.